Father, I appreciate your Holy Spirit this morning. I appreciate your presence. And you'd be here with us. You'd care to take a moment from being who you are to be with us. It's just always astounding to me. I pray you continue to be in the message and help me not stick my boot in my mouth too often. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Salt. It was start, alternative, living today. And we talked about start was begin immediately, right? That was the first word, begin immediately. Whatever God already told you, begin it. If God said to do it, like, get on it. This is the season to go, God told me to do this, should I do it? Yeah. If God said to do it, you should really do it. That's just a fact. You know, you should get on with it. The second thing is alternative. God has his ways, and they are alternative to our erosive culture today. God's ways are alternative to the culture today. God always creates his own culture. And everything else should fall to the wayside, right? We should be the alternative. Let's see. I am the church, right? I am the church. Living, that's where we're going to be at today. Being not dead, but having the actions of life, all right? And then the T, we'll get to it next week, is it's the only opportunity we have today. All you're giving is today. And I'm going to say this after church, but I'll say it right now. If you plan on attending next week, you may want to consider, it's up to you, I wouldn't tell you what to dress. You may want to consider witness wear and comfy shoes. Okay. But today's message is brought to you by the letter L. I think I have an old school slide. Yeah, there's Letterman. He could change stuff by throwing the right letter on the right thing. If you don't know, look him up. It's Electric Company before there was Sesame Street. Electric Company was for kids from the hood. Anybody know Electric? If you're from the hood, you knew Electric Company. Like everybody else, like Sesame Street, you're going, Sesame Street? That big old bird? No way. Letterman. Anyways, say salt. L is for living. All right? We just said, I am the church. And this is something you could say in your head. I'm going to say it out loud. I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud because some content in God's word is so mature that it really, it can tick us off the wrong way. Right? We got to hear all of it sometimes. Sometimes, like, you know, ever if you're raised in a home with a mom and dad, and moms and dads, like, they correct situations differently. Even if they're on the same parenting plan, you know, usually, I bet you if Jody, he's a sweet little fella, man. I love that guy. But I bet if he looked at Kaylee with his voice, his dad voice, and she'd be like, and her mom would say the same thing. I know, mom. But I bet if he said it that way in a dad, she'd be like, all right, pastor, move on. I can make her cry right now on the floor. I'm not trying to do that this morning. But say I am the church. Now think this next part in your head if it's appropriate. I am the church now, and I'll start acting like it. Aren't you glad I didn't say it out loud? Yeah. I am the church, and I'll start salting up the actions of my life. Right? Here's the mature warning slide. I got a slide that proves there's mature content ahead. I think so. The things that cause us to mature are rarely easy things. The things that cause us to grow up are rarely easy things. You know what I mean? It's rarely the easy stuff that causes us to mature. I get a lot of you nodding your head, go, uh-huh. A lot of us with scars on our head, they weren't easy lessons. Blowing my leg out at a young man thinking I might be the first 5'9½ point guard in the NBA. You know, Spud Webb was better than me, so I had no visions of grandeur. But I thought maybe. Then the knee went, and it changed me. I had to grow up and become something my family needed me to become. That was a hard lesson. Anybody else have any hard lessons in your life? You go, uh-huh, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. All right. They're really the easy things, right? Cause us to grow up. Jesus, where we left off, he's about to give an opportunity for a difficult heart check, right? He's going to give us an eternal analogy, I guess, for humankind to chew on really deeply. Say mature content. All right, Luke 14, 25 through 26. Now, large crowds were going along with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. Hey, even his own life, in the sense of indifference or maybe relative disregard for them, in comparison with his attitude towards God. If you love even the people you love more than you love me, that's out of order. Oh, that's hard because I do that sometimes. Anybody else do that sometimes? Sometimes. But he said, if you don't like, if I'm going to make an analogy, if you want to come, he's talking to the crowd. This is not how you grow a church. It's like, Jesus, don't, I won't start with that message. Don't start with that message. You know, I'm PRing for Jesus. I wouldn't, you know, don't tell them they should, you know, if you want a relationship with me, you got to hate even the people you love in comparison to how much you love me. Oh, now let's start with like the nativity scene or something. Don't start there, Jesus. In comparison with his attitude toward God, if that's not your attitude, he cannot be my disciple. Whoa, that's a bomb. He's saying, if that's not your attitude, if that's not your willingness, if that's not how I am to you, then you can't be my disciple. Doesn't matter if you have a Christian bumper sticker. You can't be it. Man, that's heavy. And that's, we should chew on that. I need to chew on that because sometimes in my life, I'm out of order. Anybody else? Sometimes I just get it twisted. I'm trying to do a good thing. Yeah, right, Jody? Come on. Just the two of us have trouble. Now, I want to define disciple. Here's the definition of disciple. It's a Greek word, and it means one who places himself as a pupil of someone for the purpose to learn and practice. A disciple is someone who places themselves under a teacher, Jesus, for the purpose to learn and to put it into practice. That's discipleship. I have this wonderful counseling practice that Dr. Heidi and I do for a living, and it's, we help people, and it's stuff, and they have these charts that she comes up with once in a while. So I think I got a picture of a chart. I want to show you the difference. This is kind of how it is for me working out at first. Motivation is awesome, right? You got to be motivated. You got to see your motivational speech. You got to motivate, motivate. And I get motivated. Woo, start, start. I'm going to start. I'm going to EOS. Yeah, that was day one. Day two and a half, I was like, oh. What, Jordan? You have to cancel because you're up late with the baby? Well, if you got to. Ooh. My motivation didn't keep me going. But you know what? When I'm at EOS, know what I noticed, though? There's a lot of shredded dudes. My age, shredded dudes. And they didn't get there because they had good motivation. They get there because they had good discipline. Yeah, they put the extra donut down. They probably never purchased the first donut. Man, yeah. It's just the way it is. Daily disciple decisions include checking our hearts. I'm going through this dumb heart situation where I'm getting checked out. I'm fine, but I got to go through all the dumb tests, you know. And God thought it was funny because when the girl's doing the probe thing, she thought it was funny. I can't wait to see next meeting. I'll say something to her. There's a little heart shaved in my chest. So every time I get up in the morning, I go, oh, my goodness, I look so silly. I can't let my wife see that. It's like Alice in Wonderland. What's going on? But it makes me remember, what's your motivation today? How's your heart? I know you're going to do something good, but how's your heart? Right? So checking our hearts is important, and putting God's ways into practice is also important. Right? So last week, we had this ginormous point. And if ever I have the technology to have a button that has sounds, one of those things is going to be Buddy the Elf saying, ginormous. Because some points are ginormous. They are ginormous. I don't even need one. Ginormous. I'll just push there. Excellent. No button needed. Solve that, saved us money. But a ginormous point that he had last week was a suggestion, well, actually a command, but sometimes we treat those the same. I know, just going over next week, last week, it's not trying to be painful. But this ginormous command that he simply put on us was this. It's a prime directive. It's us actually taking on him as first in our life in every area. And that will be living an alternative lifestyle to our society. And when they taste us, they'll taste him. So he said, our ginormous point was, make me first. Right. That's what he told us. I want you to be tasted in your life. When they see your life, when they see you Walmart, they see you walking, they see you driving, they see you, when they see your life, God wants to know that he tastes good and he's useful, because he tastes good and he's useful in your life. You know, I came to Jesus, I was reading my Bible, but I got to see someone whose life wasn't perfect, but boy, they reminded me so much of Jesus. And I just wanted more. And I saw what God was doing in his life, and I go, God loved me the same. Okay, I'll do the same things you're doing. And I got to just grow in God. But it started with a taste from somebody else. It started at the gym. Back to the gym again, you know. Golly, Lord. That's my start. I gotta go past motivation and start disciplining myself to do what makes me healthy. Now, I'm not just talking about the gym. Is it time that we start disciplining ourselves to do the things that we know are healthy? You don't have to raise your hand, but I feel hearts are going, Pastor, keep moving. I had homework last week. You guys remember your homework? That's okay. I'm not even going to look up. Like, no. Tommy's like, Pastor?
Mm-hmm. Homework? Yeah.
Harold's like, I've done homework since third grade. You know? Yeah. No, but here goes our homework. Remember, we're supposed to ask God a question. It's supposed to be something like this. God, do you feel like you are first place in my life? We're supposed to go in our prayer time and say, God, do you feel like you are first place in my life? I know that maybe you didn't ask last week, but I'm going to ask you to put that back into your routine this week. Because can nobody do you like Jesus? And you'd be shocked the things that he'll say. You think he's just going to come down on you? Sometimes I'm expecting that he just tells me something so nice and wrecks me for the whole day, you know? And sometimes I'm like, man, I am crushing. He's like, well, not so much. What do you mean? Well, remember these two things I told you to do that you still haven't done? Yeah, that's how he talks to me, because he's a good dad, right? That's who he is. So we had this greatest command that Jesus affirmed it. It was, God, you must be first in my pleasing order. And God, you must be first in my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind, right? Per God himself, say this, he must be first. Yeah, he must be first. So we're going to continue in Luke where we left off, but there's some more mature things ahead, things to consider as Christian disciplined disciples. And I wrote a note here that says, Pastor Sean, be softer here. I'm going to practice that. Here we go. Luke 14, 27 through 30. Whoever does not carry his own cross, whoever does not carry his own cross. How about this? Let's pause. Each of us have our own particular work to do. We talked about that last week. Something that God asked us to do. We keep wanting other people to carry our cross and do it. He said, no, you have a cross. I've given you something to carry in this world, a responsibility to taste like me, to look like me. And I've probably given you some other assignments so we can go, yeah, that's probably my cross. That's my heavy thing, my responsibility that God's asked of me. Anybody want to ever run from their cross? Man, I call it Monday. Whoever does not carry his cross, whoever does not express a willingness, this is the mature content, a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow after me, believing in me, trusting in me, conforming to my example. Conforming to my example. Man, that goes against my nature sometimes. You know, I was a kid like, that's good for you, then I don't want it. You know, don't make me tell me what's good for me. I will decide what's good for me. Conform, never! You know, boy, what's some scars I have on my head, Harold, right? But Jesus is saying, whoever does not express a willingness to do endure whatever and follow after me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, how we live daily should be an example to the world of Jesus. Man, I fall short. But that's the expectation, right? So we got to be putting that in us because that's what he expects out of us. And that's a heavy cross to bear. Man, I can't beat Jesus. I'm like a third-rate copy, maybe 15th-rate copy, where the ink was running out, you know? Like, man, is that Jesus? There's a watermark, Jesus, you know? Conforming to my example in living And if need be, say if need be. He's talking about the qualifications of disciples. And if need be, if I were to ask this of you, suffering or perhaps dying. You know, that's not so long ago. You want to read about all the martyrs of the past? Fox's Book of Martyrs is a huge book that will break your heart. But it's not just back then that it happens today in the world. Some people, this is their experience. This is a question they really have to answer with God. If need be, am I willing? If you're unwilling, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me, you cannot be my disciple. He said, if you're not willing, I'm not asking you to do it, but if you try to yourself that I'm not willing, I'm not signed up for that. If God were to ask me that, I'm not down, then Jesus is saying that then you can't be a disciple. Man, that's Jesus. You know what I mean? Jeff, that's like Jesus saying that. So I was like checking myself. Anybody that checked myself a little bit? I don't like to suffer. I don't even like discomfort much. You know what I mean? I have the AC perfectly set at my house for whatever I want it to be. All the time. Anybody else? I like comfort. But sometimes God's asked me to do uncomfortable things. And they might not just be suffering or dying or being beaten or abused, but he may be asking to do something that's really hard for me. And I know it's him. Right. You got to be willing. Because of faith in me, cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a watchtower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost? Before you buy a house, a car, go on vacation, right? You calculate, what's this going to cost me? To see if he has enough to finish it. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was unable to finish. I hope God's people are tired of that too. The world's tired of seeing that in the church. I hope we're tired of that, seeing that in ourselves. Going, you know, this is my year. I'm going to work that thing out. Say salt. Go into Luke 14, 33 through 35. We're talking about living, how to live our alternative life, right? Luke 14, 33 through 35. So that none of you can be my disciples. Golly, Jesus. So none of you can be my disciples who does not carefully consider the cost. I mean, do you need a minute there to go, okay? Making God first sounds simple, but it's not easy. It sounds so simple. Make God first, yeah. But actually putting him there in places that it's uncomfortable, that's not easy. Anybody ever had to do that in your walk with Jesus? Please raise your hand, because if there's new believers here, they know it's possible. Yeah, right. It takes a little bit of work. Many will ridicule you. They're going to say lies and slander and try to kill you in various ways. Try to kill your rep, try to kill your business, try to kill your character, try to kill you, right? When you became a Christian, did anybody that you used to hang with went from being a boy in your posse to someone who was ridiculing you on a regular basis? Yeah, I lost what I thought was a lot of friends. I over-Jesus them, I guess, Jake. I didn't mean to. Maybe I wasn't tasting as good as I felt, you know? I don't know. I'm asking for other opportunities. Right. None of you can be my disciples who does not carefully consider the cost. None of you can be my disciples who does not carefully consider the cost. And then for my sake, give up all his possessions. Now here's why I had to pause for a second. I don't know if you want me to pause, but I need a drink. Hypothetically. What if God were to say to you, move to Sri Lanka? What if he hypothetically did? You go home, you're like, you're driving home, you're grabbing your pizza, you're kicking up, you know, you got the game on, and all of a sudden, your house shakes, the roof splits open, and God goes, hey, I need you to go to Sri Lanka now. Some of you are like, I ain't going. Now, if that's the case, and he said, you can't be my disciple. My son, my daughter, go and sell it all because I have a mission trip for you. If he says something to a disciple for us to ponder. And if he's first, what's our response supposed to be? Yeah. He says this, therefore salt is good, but if salt becomes tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? Is it fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile? It's to be thrown away. Now, Pastor Heidi's going to be very glad. I don't have a slide for a manure pile, but I thought of it. I found some good ones. I go, aha! She's like, no, don't ever put that foot up you put last week either. That's nasty. Well, that's what bad salt's good for. Salt is not supposed to, salt is not being salt. Jesus, sweet Son of God, healer of the sick, raiser of the dead, sacrificed his own life, is telling us some hard truths. He is. And it says this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. How many know that it takes listening to hear? I'm not a great listener all the time. I hear words, but I've already got a solution before you finished your words. Anybody else like that? Yeah, I hear, my listening skills have to be tuned up, right? So that's hard enough to listen sometimes. Some of us have squirrel, you know, and listening's hard. But listening, though it's important, I think this is the season that we should learn how to heed. Heeding should be our new life action. Hearing what he says, and then heeding, which means actually doing what he said. You know, if you anybody have kids, and you're like, hey, I need you to go clean your room, and they're like, I hear you. I hear you. Like, I totally understand. You want my room clean. Yeah, say it back to me. You want me to pick my toys and stuff off the floor and put all the clothes in the drawers, right? Yeah, that's, I want you to clean your room. Excellent, I hear you. And you walk away and 4 hours later, it's not cleaned. Would you prefer they heeded you or heard you? Yeah, that's Father too. That's him. That's what Jesus is saying anyways. So, because it's really tense, I put a happy slide up. Have a happy slide? Yeah, look at that. Things that made me smile when I saw it. These are people from the church around here just smiled. And I know that pressure needs relief. And this is a press. Like, if I was there, like, I'd be like, Jesus is PR. Can you take a break? Get some water. Yeah. And I'd be going, that's what we're going to do is we're going to have juggling for a second. And then you're going to get back on stage. You ready, Jesus? Yeah. Look at that. Everyone's happy, smiling. I never saw. I want to know exactly what Max and Jordan are laughing about because that looks hilarious, you know? And so I was like, yeah, that's good. It makes me happy. That's the church, right? Say, that is the church. Yeah, yeah. Okay, now I want to remind us of another truth. And I cook soup. This is when I do topical sermons, it's like cooking soup for me. Because when I'm doing series in other ways, I can go line upon line through the Bible. When I'm cooking soup, I do it like this. I taste it and I chuck stuff in. And I chuck it in until I feel it tastes good. And it can be various things I can make soup out of. And sometimes I use spices that seem contrary, but they make the soup better. Ever use salt and pepper on anything? They seem contrary. But for a good soup, you need both. So remember, this is the contrary spice to what we've been talking about because I think it's important. And it's something I know I can always get better at. It's one ingredient that we generously actually should use every day. It seems like an opposite seasoning. So if we're to be the alternate of the decay of the world, we can't fall into the trap of not remembering this spice and using it correctly because it gets misused all the time. So before we dig deeper, I want you to say a word with me because this is the major spice for this tiny segment of today's message. Can you say grace? Yeah, following what God says is very important. It's the most important. Making him first is the most important. But also, Jesus said, so is grace. So I want to look at this contradictory spice for a second because what grace is God's perspective and attitude on forgiveness and repentance. And sometimes we got to have God's perspective because my perspective is broken at times, right? Or I filter it through something. And sometimes I think grace is also helpful for me because it helps me shatter unrealistic expectations of perfection. No one is perfect, church people. No one's perfect, only Jesus. That's an important spice. I need to remind myself that because I expect perfection out of me. And when I come short, I'm brutal. Grace. Do you guys have grace for yourselves? Grace for the people around you? If not, grace, right? Just grace. And now also, unfortunately, grace can be overused as a spice. And it can be used as an excuse to live contrary to God's plan for us. It can be an excuse. Well, just have grace. You should have grace. I know I just slapped you. For no reason. Grace. I'll do it again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. Grace. 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 No, I say boundary, boundary, boundary. I forgive you. You ain't slapped me again. Well, Jesus told me I have to, and he ain't said that. We can't misuse grace, but we can't not use grace. We can't misuse grace. We can't not use grace. Right? Let's go into Galatians real quick so I can prove that and we can move back into our thing. Galatians 2:19 through 21, and it's the New Living this time, not the Amplified. So, you know, I'm changing spices up all over the place. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Say live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I'm dead to this anti-old God way of thinking. You know, I don't make my own choices. I'm going to do what pleases God. I've died to myself. If God said this pleases him, then I'm all about that. I'm just paraphrasing. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, which is shocking, right? There's another buddy else. Shocking. That's shocking. Why would he give himself for me? He saw me when I was less than productive to society. I was counterproductive. I was one of those things, yeah, like, that guy isn't good for the earth. And God still, anybody ever had that experience? I mean, we all should actually understand that experience. The Son of God who gave himself for me, I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could have made us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. So here's a reminder. Seek the heart of God as you follow him and give him your life. And you know what happens? He'll lead you in his plans and his purposes because it's a maturing process. You can't reach God that way, but if you know God, he's going to take you through that process. He's not going to leave you the unhealthy person that you came to him. He wants to work on your process. And we got to, you know, be pliable to that. That's the part of the process, right? It's maturing. You've got to die to thinking that just keeping the law perfectly, that's your ticket to heaven. It's not. It's a Sadducee problem. Don't live by excuses, but do the work he gave you to do. Don't live by excuses anymore. It's time to do the work he gave us to do. Both the work in you and around you, because he gives you both. If he's doing a work in you, he's expecting that's going to show out around you. That's what he does. Say, live by grace. All right, back to salt. Actions of life. James 1:22 through 27. But do not just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And if I would allowed to, I would have put a Def Leppard clip in there. You know, anybody? Fooling. You're fooling yourself. Fooling yourself. You think you know, but you don't know. I know. No, you don't. You don't understand. You're fooling yourself. If you don't think you have to do what God says and you call yourself a disciple, you're fooling yourself. Well, grace. No, you're misusing grace. And everyone tastes your soup and they know it. Yeah, right, Mark? We've been there. All right, dude. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word of God and don't obey, it's like glancing in a mirror at your face. You see yourself, then you walk away and you forgot what you look like. But if you look carefully in the perfect law that sets you free. Like, pay attention. I want to know how to get better. I want to know what God says. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, but, I should have cut this morning. Darn. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. If you don't claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. No hands, please. But how many of us, our mouth can be the problem? At least sometimes, right? You didn't say the right thing. You're going to be cussing, and then you can just say the wrong thing, and you know it. It shouldn't come out of my mouth. All right, let it. There it is. Well, grace. Don't control your tongue. That's a you problem. God says, I expect those things. It's just a small one. I didn't say don't murder somebody. You know, it's like, my tongue. Well, I didn't even say it. I just quote my friend James. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourselves. And your religion is worthless. Like everything you're projecting to say you are, it don't taste good. Actually, the manure pile for you. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father. I want to know what this is. Pure and genuine religion in God's eyes is caring for orphans and widows in their distress. Right? I love that we're a church that does that as a group. I love that. I often have seen people abuse grace because they're not such distressed. They just don't want to work. And God told us earlier, he said, you got to be in a give mentality. Trust me, he said, trust me on it. But also, that's not an excuse not to take care of widows and orphans. Well, they probably have to. Look, man, it's a widow and orphan. Just give them $2 and move on. You don't need that smoothie. Right? Okay. Too much. I have my boots on to remind me, don't get overboard. I don't move as good in my boots. You guys get crazy, wild, want to like hang me or something? I can't move in my boots real fast. I need my wrestling shoes. I need my wrestling. Max, where is he? Wrestling shoes, bro. Wrestling shoes. I need them. Okay. Caring for orphans and widows and the distressed, and say refusing to. Refusing to let the world corrupt you. You got to refuse to let it corrupt. That means you got to have an attitude against it. I refuse to let you corrupt me. I'm going to make you corrupt me. No, you're not. I'm coming. No, you're not. I refuse to let it corrupt me. I'm going to be a salt. I want to start living the alternative lifestyle for God. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be that. Now, commentary detailed, and I'm going to dovetail last week's message here into this. That word pure is like uncontaminated, okay? The world's contaminants, here it is. I didn't make it a slide, though. The world's contaminants will get inside of you in the places that you're open for it. The world's contaminants will get inside of you the places that you are open for it. It enters through the holes in our walls that we're not repairing. That's how it gets in. I'm open for it, and I haven't repaired it. And also, I'm not even guarding against it. Remember? Worked with one hand, sword in the other. Why do I keep getting attacked in the same open hole? Well, man, that's the one you're leaving open. It's the one you're not fixing, and it's the one you're not guarding yourself against. It shouldn't be shocking. Say living. Living is God's alternative way, right? Consistently disciplined as a disciple. 1 John. This is the message we heard from Jesus. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now I declare to you. I had to pause there for a second because this is a way that actually pastors and leaders should check ourselves. It's always best to just share God's message, not our own. Just declare what God says and not your own spin. When I try to paraphrase, I take the intent of God's word and shake it out there so some of us can kind of hear it different than King's English, but never change the message. It's not my message. Trust me, that's not how you build the church, starting off with, hey, hate everything compared to God. Close your head and pray. But he's saying that during the season to his people. He's saying, I need more love from you, and I need less corruption from you. And it's not about you, really. The world just needs a better picture of me because it's getting closer to the end of situations, and there's more people that need to taste me. Are you willing to do that? God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. I know God, then live like it. I know him. If you know him, then you would change some things. Bro, I'm not saying I don't need to change things, but you can't be doing that and say, I know God. That's not possible. I'm just quoting Jay, you know, get back over here with your boots on. We're lying if we say we have fellowship with God and go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. You got to practice the truth. It doesn't come natural. It's hard, and we mess it up, you know. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, if we're really doing our best to obey his light directions, you know, then we have fellowship with each other too. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Say grace. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. Say, Pastor, don't be a fool. I'm working on it. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just, and he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all wickedness. Right? If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. That's a hard place, because before I knew Jesus, nothing's a sin. I said, no, you call me a liar. Like I have set rules. Well, it wasn't that a long time ago? No, that's always a rule. Okay. And showing that his word has no place in our lives. So as Christians, we got to show that his word means something to us. And we try to put it into practice. And when we fall down, we have grace for each other. We get back up and we try to do exactly what God asked us to do. Say, salt. Yeah. Living a life dying to self, surrendering to God's truth. Anybody need help doing that? It's awesome, because Jesus said he'd send a helper. So if you need help, like living a saltier life for God, ask Jesus for help. He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. That's just not like to raise the dead and heal the sick. That's to help us try to look more like he's cooking salt on the inside. Right? He's cooking salt on the inside. Just ask him for help. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. Say, my purpose. My purpose. Now, here's a great thing to remember when you're asked to be endured things or hard lessons. And God has a purpose, and it's not to be cruel. God's purpose is not to be cruel ever to his kids. He has ways and purposes for us he wants us to accomplish, right? My purpose, what's God's purpose? My purpose in all of this, for you guys to come to me and lay down your burdens, forgive you and set you free and get you tasting better for the world to see you. My purpose is that you'd live a rich and satisfying life. At the end of the time, you look back, go, thank God I did it your way. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. I want you to look across the room, lock eyes with somebody. I always pick on Andrew, so you get me again. Say, God has a purpose for you. Now look at somebody else. God has a purpose for you. That's truth. 1 John 4:16-17. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. To really live, we must love like he does. All who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. It's a little Seuss-like for me, but okay. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Practicing growth. How many know that as the church, say, I am the church, we must mature in expressing God's love. We got to be more mature in expressing God's love. We really want mature love given to us, but it is our job to start maturing ourselves to express His love better. Yeah, that's our job. Love me, love me, love me. No. It's time for me to start giving that away. And if I don't have it, I got to get it. Because that's what He's looking for. So we'll not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence. With confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. With confidence. Why? Because I tried my best to live like Jesus in this world. What's your plan? He forgave me. What's your next? What are you expecting again? I'm in. But you know what? My confidence is, Father, what's that? I tried my best to live like Jesus in the world you put me in. That's where our confidence can lie. Say salt, right? We live like Jesus here in this world. God's love is looking a little more salty. So as we wrap up today, I have a couple things. I'm not fully wrapped, but say muy importante. Muy importante, right? Because I don't want our lives to have these actions and end up being worthless. Let's go to 1 Corinthians so we know exactly what the picture looks like. What am I producing, God? What is it that if I live like love and you're love and I live like God, then what is it that I need to actually be expressing to the world the most in my soup? Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:3. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. You can do great stuff, but if its motivation isn't love, it does me no good at all. I get no credit. I think I have a dumb little slide up for a pressure relief. Yeah, there. Heart check. Heart check. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. This is what discipline looks like in our lives to produce. Love endures with patience and serenity. How are we doing so far? Patience and serenity. When I'm mature and loving like God, and He's producing that in me, and when I'm bitten into in challenging circumstances, am I producing patience and peace? Man. It's good to check me because I don't think I do that a lot sometimes in moments that I could be better. I don't know if anybody else, that I could be better right there. It's not going to get me into heaven, but it's going to make me look more like Jesus, and that's what I care most about. And love is not jealous. How do your life actions and heart line up right there? Love is not jealous. If you're unsure, ask God. Love is not envious. Love does not brag, it is not proud or arrogant. It, love, is not rude. Anybody have a rude problem? I bet you God's working on it. I bet He is. If you love God and you're a disciple and you got a rude problem, He's working on it. Why? Because He wants you to taste like good soup. He wants us to be good soup because the world's starving to death. They're eating terrible byproducts, processed Christianity, watered down energy drink of God, and they can't realize why their nutrients are drying their souls out. You see the garbage all over the world. Why? Because they're not getting any good nutrients. They say, well, what are they going to do? I'm sending you in the world so they can taste you. That's why I'm working on your not rudeness. It, say love, is not self-seeking. Does anyone see a world that's infected by self-seeking? I mean, this world is infected by self-seeking. It, love, is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. Ah! Anybody got a pirate in them? Say, ah! Nah, not overly sensitive or easily angered. Do you know, in the month of October, I could feel that in the air. I walked up myself and went, people are offended today over nonsense. How do you know? Because I am. I feel it. I feel a little overly sensitive right now. Well, people should love me. No, I'm working on you, Pastor Sean. Me, yeah, that's not such a good flavor. No, that's a little cayenne right there. You know, back off that. Okay. not overly sensitive or easily angered. It, love, does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. Say the truth. If we're going to actually be forgiven and set free, we got to start with the truth. We got to start with the truth. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Lord, what are you going to ask me to do? Sri Lanka? Sri Lanka, is that it? Sri Lanka, sell everything. My baseball card collection. My Nikes. Love bears all things, believes all things, looks for the best in each other, hopes all things, remaining steadfast, consistently disciplined, to God and his ways during difficult times. I should have put this up as a slide because to me, I liked it. But maybe, I don't know, it's a thing for me. Ever heard the thing, snitches get put in ditches? Okay, how about this? When life hands us tough stitches, don't let them put you in ditches. When life hands you tough situations, don't let it, oh, waves and billows of wash, woe is me, where is God? Everything sucks, you suck, I suck, they suck, we suck. Back on stage. But you know what I'm saying? I'm in a difficult situation. That means everyone needs to know that God's being mean to me. Oh, careful, that ain't good salt. That's not truth. When life hands us tough stitches, don't let it put you in ditches anymore. If you're prone to ditches, I'm prone to ditches. I'll find them. You know, you don't see that ditch, I'll find it. But when those situations arise, what are we doing to say, God, examine my heart and my salt right now? Because I feel the ditch wanting to overtake me right now. But you're asking, when I'm crushed, we talked about worship today, that incense rising. You know what causes incense to smell so good? It's burned. So we're saying that my worship, let my life be burned and you smell something really good when it happens. That's pressure, right? That's a tough situation. Then, Lord, let it smell good as I go through it. Help me. I don't want to be fake. I want to smell good, though. No matter what God says, he's got to be first. Say true, alternative, living. God first. Right? God first. So we, the church, are called to start living our lives as an alternative option. Start seeing salting ourselves and tasting good again, right? So let's be the healthy meal. I think I have a slide and then one more scripture and then we're going to end. I think I have a slide. You be God's heart and hands to the decaying world. That's what living. Start alternative living. You. Wherever you're going today. Whenever, wherever you're at. Wherever he's placed you in the world, you start. You be his heart and his hands. Use the right amount of grace and always walk in truth. That's what we're called to be, Jeff. That's how he's sending us to be, right? Philippians 4:8-9. I'm doing so good with time. Finally, believers. Whew, I love that. Especially when service. You're like, finally, believers, you get out of here. Finally, you get a soda bar. Finally. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. Whatever is confirmed by God's word. If it's in God's word and it's been confirmed, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely, whatever brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute. Good repute, character is essential. Okay. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continual on these things. When you get in a ditch, you want to climb out of the ditch? What am I thinking about? I create my own ditches and I fall into them. My stitches are caused by my ditches most of the time. But if I pull myself out and I think about what's truth, now how I feel, what's the truth? How about what does God's word say is true no matter how I feel? How about whatever's really pure and wholesome as opposed to what I want to do with my anger? What if whatever's admirable and of good character, whatever's excellent, whatever you'd be praising about, if I'll focus my mind on those things, that'll alter my life. That'll alter the lives of people around me. It says, center your mind on them. I often need to be refocused. Sometimes what I center my life on is how to fix the problem that's ahead of me. It's part of my job. But if I don't focus first on him, I mess my job up. Right? Center your mind on them. Implant them in your heart. Be purposeful. Stick them. Man, I'm so amazed this week. Elizabeth May, my granddaughter, about 5 weeks ago, I don't know, long ways ago, she goes, Papa, can I plant garlic? I said, sure. So I get her some garlic bulbs and we're composies. We have garlic everywhere. So I just, you know, she undid the garlic thing. She goes, now how about some of those chia seeds? And I went, I don't know. I never use chia seeds and I'm uncertain, are they really seeds? They're just like particles of plastic that get caught in your teeth. I don't know if they're real things. She goes, can I plant them? I'm like, sure. Will you water them? Yes. I remember 3 times in 4.5 weeks. I walk out the other day and there's these garlic shoots coming out of this pot. And I went, and I walked over and chia seeds are seeds. So I was amazed. You know why they're growing? Because someone planted them there. What you aren't growing, maybe it's not what you're not planting. Yeah. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Not to your boy. Practice these things. Practice them. Practice these things in daily life. Practice these things in daily life. And God, who is the source of peace and well-being, he'll be with you. That's all I ever wanted. You practice these things, I'll be with you. I'm a good dad. You keep practicing. You practice good enough, and I'm going to have you go play for other people. I'm going to give you a bigger audience. I don't want an audience. I know you don't. But you're so good at being like me, I need to send you to other people that need to see me too. Bite me, taste Jesus, right? So practice them. Live the things that we're supposed to do. If you consider yourself a disciple, if you are the church, right? That's stuff we need to work on. Now, if you need prayer for that, like I'm struggling in that area, and you need prayer, we can have some prayers. I know they want to announce something. I'm going to zip that right now. Yeah. What I want to do is, if you need prayer, this is real. Like, I mean, how many prayer lines I stood in, man, when I was growing in Jesus, like, I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. I need something. I can't seem to get past this thing. I keep this rudeness thing. Man, it's following me around. I can't seem to cut it off. I need prayer. I need someone to stand with me. I need someone to point it out. That loves me. Why? Because I really don't want it anymore in my life. I want him to go, well done, doing good, and I don't want to turn anybody off to Jesus because I can do that in a heartbeat. My job is supposed to be the opposite. And not because I'm a pastor, it's because I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. So if discipleship has been hard and you want prayer, you can come right up front and you'll get prayer. Pastor Justin, would you be willing to pray for folks? I appreciate it. If you want prayer, you can come up. Pastor Heidi, if you want to pray for folks, you know. You don't have to come up. This is like the pressure. I'm giving you 1 more minute. I'm not going to give you any minutes. Like, if you feel it, come up and get prayer. If not, I'm going to have you stand with me. And I'll pray over all of us because I know this is the year I need to get saltier in a Jesus way, not in a Sean Capozzi kind of way. I think it's really vital, honestly, for the church during this season. This message is, or I really feel like it's that sounding call. Like before you hear a tornado, I want to hear a siren. Before you hear the sound of a tornado, trust me, you want to hear a siren. And I feel like this series has been like a siren. I think he's saying stuff to all of us. So I'm going to pray us out, and I'm going to make you remember something. If you're coming next week, you may want to consider witness wear and comfortable shoes. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the church, in me, in New Season, Romans 12, Love Church, Father God, Rock Church, Father God. I thank you what you're doing at Life Point, Lord. I thank you that you're bringing the church alive again. And you love us so much that you're working on us because you want to display yourself to the world in ways that make change. So we're asking as disciples of Jesus Christ that your Spirit, Father, would come upon us and help us do the things that we cannot do for the glory that you deserve. And the church said, amen. Amen.